Thank you for your precious word.
Amen.
Speak to us through your word today.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this week we've been in the second chapter of Genesis, these verses 4 through 7. And I really appreciate that we've been going through Genesis 1 and 2. It's been a real enjoyment and a real strengthening to us. In the first chapter, or actually up through chapter 2, verse 3, we have a marvelous picture of God's purpose. We're really blessed to see that God has an eternal purpose.
Amen.
Created us in His image, given us His dominion, that we might express Him and represent Him on the earth. This is not a small thing. On the earth. Man is created to express Him right now where we are in our daily life. It's quite a marvelous thing. And this section that we're coming into, beginning with 4 through 7 and throughout the rest of this chapter, we can see how God accomplishes this. How can we, as human beings created by God, how can we express Him? How can we represent Him and exercise His authority? We have no authority in ourselves, but we're given this dominion by God. And how can we do this? And I think we begin to see that a little bit this week. And what I want to just share with you, three points that I enjoyed. I won't share very long. And then you have a lot of time to share with us what you've enjoyed this week. And feel free to share whatever you've enjoyed. You don't have to enjoy what I enjoyed. It's okay. It's just fine. But I enjoyed these three things. First of all, that we have three parts. And sometimes we call this the tripartite man. This makes us different from everything else in this universe. And a very, very crucial matter of the truth. And it also is a very precious thing because it gives us the opportunity to experience this marvelous triune God who made us in such a wonderful way. So first of all, on the tripartite man. Secondly, I'd like to share with you what I enjoyed about the importance of our human spirit. The importance of our spirit. Our spirit is very crucial. And then lastly, we're not only a body and a soul, we have a soul. So I just want to end with this last point about the need for us to be transformed in our soul. So first of all, we come to Genesis 2, 4 through 7. And maybe as a little background, in our home meeting we had a question about this. Why is God talking about no grain and, you know, no plants? Didn't in chapter 1, doesn't He say the plants were made and created and so forth? And I think we had a little fellowship there. It was helpful to us to realize, you know, the Bible is the book of life. This is not a chronological account of how God created the universe. The first chapter of Genesis is a chapter that tells us and gives us the importance of this matter of life. God spoke and there was life. He created life, and there's a progression in that chapter on the growth of life. And in this chapter we come to more details of how He especially created man. But there's a little background here, and I enjoyed this verse 5 very much earlier in the week, Monday and Tuesday I think particularly. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For Jehovah God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And this is the phrase that struck me. And there was not a man to work the ground. And I think on Monday we had those verses in Joel 2. I think we might have them, right? Joel 2. In Joel 2, you see that in verse 23... the Lord speaks this, O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in Jehovah your God, for He gives you the former rain in righteousness, and He makes the rain to come down, the rain come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain at the beginning of the season. And then in verse 28 and 9, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He equates the rain with His pouring out of the spirit. God is not here talking about farming, you know, physical farming. We need rain to grow the crops. He's talking about life. He needs to pour out His Spirit upon us, actually, right? Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Indeed, even upon the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out My Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And the background of this portion is this. There's not yet a man for God to pour out the Spirit. That's why He said, no rain. He's not talking about, you know, farming here. He's talking about God creating man in His image to exercise dominion for His purpose. And for that, we need the pouring out of the Spirit. We need for Him to reign on us, right, as the Spirit. So that's the background I enjoyed earlier in the week. And it just gave me a fresh appreciation, you know. I mentioned this Friday night. There's a brother that I fellowship with a lot and spend a lot of time with, especially now that he has retired. And, you know, sometimes I'll call him, or when I see him, I say, how are you, brother? And he will sometimes answer this way, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I appreciated that verse this week in relation to our being created with three parts, you know, because it's really true. Man, you are wonderfully made. Fearfully, or the recovery version says, awesomely. A very popular word among the young people today. You're awesomely made. And it's true. And the reason we're awesomely made is because we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. That's why we're so awesomely made. And so, earlier in this week, I had this kind of appreciation, or just kind of realization. It is not a small thing to be saved today and in the church life. We are here for the highest purpose in this universe. We're not here just to have a good family and a good living and enjoy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. We're happy Father's Day. And, you know, it's okay. I'm not complaining. But my point is this. That's not the reason we're here. We are here to express God. And we are here to be filled with Him. And we're here to exercise His dominion, His authority. Now, I just sometimes I have to stop and think about that. We have the capacity. I don't want to say the power. We don't have the power. God has the power. But we have the capacity to exercise that power in prayer and to bind what He has bound. On the earth, we bind what He has bound. And to loose what He has loosed. This is not a small thing. You are awesomely and wonderfully made. It's a marvelous... That's Psalm 139:14. It's a marvelous, marvelous verse. And it's not just because of the way our physical body was made. That's awesome in itself. But it's because of God's purpose. We were wonderfully made. So that's what I enjoyed on Monday and Tuesday. I'm just sharing with what I enjoyed this week. But when we came to Wednesday on this three-part vessel, I enjoyed this very much. Romans 9:21-23, and 4. Ed added 24 Friday night because of that first phrase, you know. So anyway, let's read that together. Romans 9:21-24. Or does not the potter have authority to make unto honor? Vessels of mercy, which He had before prepared unto us. Even us, whom He has also called, not only from among the Jews, but from among the Gentiles. This point struck me this week. We're created as vessels. This is very crucial. Vessels are just made to contain something. We're not created as tools to do some work. We're made somewhat like this cup just to contain something. And actually, we're a three-part vessel, and all the parts of our vessel receives things all the time. I hope you had breakfast this morning, otherwise you're going to be really hungry in a few minutes. Our body receives the food, right? And when we eat that food, actually, we assimilate all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't know. But anyway, so many things that go on there. And actually, that food then eventually, because of our because of the way we're awesomely made, becomes ourselves, becomes us, right? Dietitians say you are what you eat, so be careful what we eat. But anyway, that's our body. But even our soul, we're taking in things all the time. We're seeing things, we're hearing things, we're thinking about things, and all of these kinds of things are getting into us. Why? Because we were made that way. God created us that way as vessels. We are taking in things all the time. And particularly, what makes us so distinct is that we have a human spirit. And that is also part of our marvelous vessel. And our spirit has the capacity to receive God Himself. There is no other part of the creation that has this kind of capacity. We have a human spirit. I hope that after this, I hope this week, not because of my sharing, but I hope that after we see something this morning, we could have a real fresh appreciation of our human spirit. We have a human spirit. It's a marvelous thing. And our human spirit is part of this vessel, and is a particular part of this vessel that was made to receive and contain God. This is how God accomplishes His purpose. He wants to fill this vessel, beginning from our spirit. He wants to enter into us. That's our salvation experience, right? That's when we're regenerated. When we believe in the Lord and we call on His name and ask Him to save us, He comes into our human spirit. And now, God as the Spirit is mingled with our spirit, and our spirit becomes these two spirits mingled together. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And because of that, we can contact Him anytime. We can enjoy Him any time of the day. And we can be filled with Him. And when we are filled with Him, then spontaneously, we express Him. You know, we express whatever we're filled with. This week we had a tragic loss of our hockey team. I know some people are very upset about this. I am not a major hockey fan, but my children played hockey, so I got into it a little bit. And I was watching a little bit and concerned about the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I found out, when you watch that or you read about that, you talk about that. Right? Because it gets into you. So you know, when you read something and you, in the newspaper, something comes up, you hear about something, you get filled with that and that comes out. Well, it's the same with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to struggle and strive to express God. We just have to be filled with Him. We just have to read about Him and fellowship with Him and spend time with Him. Spontaneously, something comes out. Something comes out. Maybe you don't preach the gospel directly to somebody, but even on our jobs and in our neighborhoods and in our daily life, if we're enjoying the Lord, people see something. They may not understand what it is right away, but they see something. What is that? That's God. That's the Lord Himself. You know, I don't know if I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was single living in Manhattan, I had a cleaning lady once every 2 weeks. Anyway, she would come in and clean the house a little bit, a couple of hours. And one day, and so in those times, you know, my job was looking for a job. That's kind of a funny job, but I had a job looking for jobs. And all I did was look for jobs every day. And then if you get one, you know, you're happy, and then it only lasts a day. Anyway, in the morning, if she would come, I would go out, and then she would see me a little bit. And one day she said, "I don't understand you. Why are you so happy all the time?" And so in those days, my habit was, after morning watch and spend some time in the Word, I would read a life study, and then I would go, you know, to my interview or whatever. I was reading a ministry book I took with me on the subway. And anyway, so I told her, "I'm happy because I enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoy Him." Something came out. I never told her I was a Christian in the beginning, you know. But she saw something. And I think all of us have this capacity. Amen. Just enjoy the Lord. Amen. You know, and My burden is, enjoy the Lord a little more tomorrow. And a little more on Tuesday. And a little more on Wednesday. Just enjoy the Lord a little more. And things will change. The Lord will be expressed more. This is how God accomplishes His purpose. Now, for the sake of some of the new ones, I think it's good to draw these concentric circles. I remember the first time I saw this, it was revolutionary to me. I never knew we had three parts. Growing up in a Christian home, I knew we had a body, but I thought the soul and the spirit about the same thing. So it was hard for me to learn how to contact the Lord. I did contact the Lord once in a while, but you know, I didn't know how to do it again. It just kind of happened sometimes. Anyway, okay, of course we have a body. Ooh, it's hard to... And the soul, and we have the spirit. And I have some feeling to talk about the functions of the spirit. We have three functions of our human spirit. We don't have time to read all the verses, but we have a conscience, maybe one of the most important parts of our spirit. We have an intuition, and we have fellowship, or the function of conscience, intuition, and fellowship. And conscience is a very important part of our spirit, or function of our spirit, which tells us or justifies us when we're right and condemns us when we're wrong. And Paul said he exercised himself always to have a good conscience before God and before man. So, and then, you know, later he said godliness, exercise. Bodily exercise profits a little, but exercise unto godliness is profitable in all things. So his exercise unto godliness was an exercise of his spirit, particularly in Acts, exercise of his conscience. Yesterday, as we're with the serving ones and some of the parents from the young people, we talked about this. For this year's summer school on God's full salvation, we have a particular burden on the matter of the conscience. Among other things, but this is a very important thing, especially for new believers and for our young people. But listen, we never graduate from exercising our conscience. Paul even said, I always exercise myself to have a good conscience before God and before man. For us to receive more of the Lord every day, we have to take care of our conscience. Even our conscience protests sometimes before we say something that may not be so good, or before we do something that's not proper. So the conscience operates before and after sometimes, you know. But it's a marvelous function of our spirit. And we can exercise our conscience all day long. And this is my main point, to touch these functions. You know, when we say, how do we exercise our spirit? We might say, well, praying, that's true, and calling on the Lord. But some of these things, reading the Word, singing, we can't do all the time. Maybe on the job or in school, you can't call out loud on the Lord too much. But you can have fellowship with the Lord while you're at work or at school. You can open up to Him, and you can exercise your conscience, especially we say for the students, right? You know, in class, you have to be careful. Especially taking a test, you have to be careful. You don't want to go look at the other paper, you know. That exercise your conscience. That is an exercise of the Spirit, and that is an experience of Christ. So I just have some burden to talk about this. You know, we need more fellowship with the Lord, and that is a function of our spirit. To open up to Him, to pray to Him, to spend time with the Lord. Especially in the morning, but throughout the day. And we have an anointing. That's the intuition. And throughout our day, the Spirit is moving in us and speaking to us. And we have a verse that we need to be exercised to listen to the sanctifying Spirit. That's the anointing within. It was always speaking to us. But sometimes we're not that sensitive because we don't exercise our spirit enough. We need to practice. We learn how to exercise our spirit by exercising our spirit. By practicing to exercise our spirit. And we may make mistakes, that's okay. But we will learn when we're in our spirit and when we're not in our spirit. But our spirit is a crucial, crucial part of our being. Now, just to confirm this with these verses that we had this week, in Zechariah 12:1, right? We have that? Yeah. The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. Thus declares Jehovah, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. We have a little children's song, Heavens for Earth, Earth for Man, and Man is for God, right? The heavens, the earth, and man. But actually the verse says, the spirit of man. The spirit of man is that crucial to God. It's the burden of the word of the Lord to the children of Israel, who stretch forth the heavens. Without the heavens, we can't have the earth here. And without the earth, we can't live anywhere. We wouldn't have a place to live, right? The earth is the perfect environment for man to live. But this verse talks more specifically about the spirit of man. That shows, in God's view, the heavens, the earth, and the spirit of man. The center of our being. Very, very crucial. Of course, Job 32:8 says, there is a spirit in man. And Proverbs 20:27, I always like this verse, the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inmost parts of our inner being. From this verse, we can get some help to see something about Genesis 4:7. Brothers, maybe go back to Genesis 4:7. Here, God's giving us the details of how we were created. Everything else, God said, let there be light. Let there be a separation. Let there be the heavenly bodies, right? He just spoke and it came into being. He didn't say, let there be man. He formed man from the dust of the ground. That refers to our body. And we know that when we die and we decompose, all the minerals in the earth are found in our human body, right? And then it says, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And this word breath is the same word as spirit in Proverbs 20:27. The same Hebrew word. So there, God's breath became our human spirit. It's not the life of God yet. It's not God Himself yet. But the breath of God became our human spirit. And when our human spirit entered into our body, then man becomes a living soul. And that's our person. That's our personality. Our mind, our emotion, and our will. Our soul is a very important part of our being. Because, listen, we express God through our soul, through what we think, through what we love, through our choices, through our will. Do we take God's will? Do we love what He loves? We do, the more we spend time with Him, and the more we're filled with Him. So our soul is very important. And we'll just end with that a little bit later. But anyway, this shows the importance of our spirit. And then John 4:24 is a very important verse this week. God is spirit. We can read it together. God is spirit, and those who worship Him. This is one of the three verses in the New Testament that shows us there are two distinct spirits. God is spirit. And those who worship Him, those people, those men, must worship in spirit. That's small s, the small human spirit. This again shows us the importance of our human spirit. God desires worship. He loves when His creatures worship Him, when man worships Him. But the way we worship and the function and the part of us that worships God is our spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truthfulness. I just had a fresh appreciation of my human spirit this week. Do you love your spirit? Yes. It doesn't sound like you love it that much. Do you love your spirit?
Yes.
We should love our spirit. Our spirit is the most important part. And you know, brothers and sisters, in the church life particularly, but in our human life generally, we need to learn to let our spirit take the lead in everything we do, in everything we say, in all of our choices. We need to check with the Lord in our spirit. Listen, that will save us from a lot of problems. And it will strengthen us to live a normal human life expressing God on the earth. We have a marvelous, marvelous part of our being. Actually, all the parts of our being are marvelous, but I really appreciate our human spirit. But, and that's, you know, very important for our salvation. We receive God in our spirit. But that's not the end of our salvation. And later in the week, we had these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We often use this verse just to show or to prove this little diagram of man. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame. We often use this verse as scriptural reference or proof that man has three parts. Body, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. But what I enjoyed from this verse this week is that all of our being needs to be sanctified wholly at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means when we get saved, our spirit, we receive the Lord Jesus in our spirit. That's marvelous. That happens instantaneously as soon as you believe in the Lord. We enjoyed all those marvelous hymns this morning. When I see the blood, He will pass over us. When you take the Lord as your sacrifice, when you accept Him as your Savior, you are immediately redeemed by the blood and forgiven, right? And also you receive another life, the life of God. This is a marvelous thing. But what about our soul and our body? They're not yet preserved complete. There still needs something to take place. So we need to have our soul, our whole Christian life now, and that we are living on the earth, is so that our soul can be transformed. Because eventually, our body will be glorified, right? But that also happens. The twinkling of an eye at the sound of the trumpet when the Lord comes, that will take place quickly. That will take place at the end of our salvation. But there is a great need for us to be transformed by the renewing of the mind in our soul. And this, I'm not only because of the verses on Friday, I'm burdened about this, but because of our Summer School of Truth coming up this summer, we're on God's full salvation. And we want to help our young people to realize, now you believe in the Lord. Now you're a Christian. You're a saved person. And your spirit is mingled with God. You have God in your spirit. Marvelous. But we want to help them not only to enjoy the Lord in their spirit, this is an important thing, but we want to help them to grow in this life so that this Christ, this God who is in our spirit, can make His home in our hearts day by day and saturate us and fill us day by day so that our mind can be renewed. This is a very important part of our soul. Things come in mainly through the mind. This is how Satan tempted man in the beginning. Put a question mark in man's mind. Does God really care for you that much? I don't know. And that was the cause of the fall. And He still does this, tries to put things in our mind. So, brothers and sisters, we need to have our mind renewed. Because one big reason is because we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a warfare. And there's no... this warfare is against God and Satan. And yesterday, in our little fellowship, we talked a little bit about this. In this warfare, there is no neutral territory. You're either on the Lord's side, or you're on Satan's side. And this brought out something that struck me very much yesterday, and I just wanted to repeat it for all of us. That means We cannot afford to be passive. If you are passive, you're on the devil's side. That's all he wants to do, is get you to be passive. Because you don't wake up. I don't wake up. Maybe I don't. I believe you are the same as I. I do not wake up in my spirit. I have to exercise to get there. I have to choose to turn to the Lord. How about you? That means if I'm passive, our default mode is on the wrong tree, I'm afraid. It's just on the wrong place. And we're in a battle. And, you know, we're in a warfare. We have to exercise to stay on the Lord's side. Not that we have to do that much, but we do have to exercise our spirit. And that is a very, very important point in these verses. We have to do. And the more we do this, the more we spend time with the Lord. We have a hymn, "Take Time to Behold Him." We have these verses. We all, with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting the Lord as a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. We can be transformed, and we must be transformed day by day, little by little. You're not going to see it. It's not going to happen overnight, and that's okay, but it is happening. The more we spend time with the Lord, the more we enjoy Him in His Word. And we have that verse this week. I think we have it here, Hebrews 4:12. Let's read that again. "For the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword." "And able to discern." When I came into the church life, the brothers all the time would tell me, "Turn to your spirit. Exercise your spirit. You need to get in, walk by the Spirit." And I knew the verses. I read but I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know how to do that. But eventually, reading the Word, I started to find the Word of God divides our soul from our spirit. And it wasn't that I had some big revelation, but just staying in the Word every day, reading the Word every day. And, the church here began to read, we were encouraged to read 3 chapters a day, to read through the Bible in a year. And for many years, in the beginning of my church life, I just practiced that. And I would read the Old Testament at night. It's the best sleeping pill, I can tell you. Oftentimes falling asleep, reading those 2 chapters, waking up with my Bible there. But that was okay. I slept very well, and I enjoyed the Word. And the Word of God is living and operative. The more you read the Word, there's just a division there. I just could sense when I'm not in my spirit. I didn't know so much when I was in my spirit, but I certainly knew when I wasn't in my spirit. So, we need the Word. We need to discern. The Word to discern and to divide our soul from our spirit, because these things are very, very close. And historically, among Christians, there's a lot of problems when you don't realize there's a difference, because you may mistake the soulish enjoyment for the spirit. And Pentecostalism, my father's side of the family are in that, in that Pentecostal kind of, Christianity. And I could witness that. I could see that. Very early on, I could realize they have a difficulty, a lot of excitement, a lot of things that are very, but not always the Spirit. And anyway, I don't want to talk about Christian history here. But this shows you the importance of realizing that we have 3 parts, that we are trichotomous, or tripartite men and women. So we have Romans 12:1-2. We can end with reading these verses. "I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect." This is our need, and this is our goal. We want to enjoy the Lord, and we want to spend time with Him. We want to consecrate ourselves to Him so that we wouldn't be fashioned according to this age. This is a big part of the battle. The world is, we're living in the world. But whether or not we're of the world depends upon whether we're turning to the Lord, whether we're in the Word, and whether we're enjoying Him. Because if not, we will be fashioned. We will think like them, we will eventually look like them, and we will just be the same as them. But we have the capacity, because of the way God created us in this marvelous way, we have the capacity to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Our soul must be transformed. And we pray and we trust that the Lord has enough time to transform us in this life so that we could meet Him and enjoy Him in the kingdom and co-reign with Him in the kingdom. I think we do have Psalm 139, right, brothers? Yeah, let's read this last one together. And then we can pray for a few minutes and go to our prophesying meetings. Let's read this verse together. I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. You want to announce the video training? And yeah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you are awesomely and wonderfully made. I hope you appreciate that. And thank the Lord for that. Nothing we did. We are vessels of mercy. But, it says, vessels of mercy predestined unto glory. Glory is God expressed. We're just vessels of mercy. We are nothing. And we have nothing. But we have the capacity to receive, to be filled with the Lord, and eventually to express Him. And that expression is glory. I think Brother Ed has a few announcements. And then we'll have plenty of time to prophesy.
I read Zechariah 12:1. According to God's estimation, not our estimation, according to God's estimation, His laying out the heavens, forming the earth, and making the spirit of man, all three are just as crucial. That it could be the same with us. And we don't forget that we have a spirit. We would like to remind the saints, you can still sign up for the video training starting on July 4th this year so that we can use the holiday so that you can enjoy the last part of Genesis. So now we will pray, and those going to the language meetings will do so. And then you share whatever you have enjoyed. Amen. We trust that as you pray, you will be exercised. Amen. And then you will share short, living, and to the point. Let's pray.
Amen. We can contact you and we can receive you.